beware and prepare for something spine tingling, something horrifying, pure terror to your eardrums. This is Epic Film Guy's B-Sides.
And welcome, ghouls, ghosts, slashers, and all you killer Santas out there, to another edition of Epic Film Guy's B-Sides. That's right, you heard the word B-Sides. It's been a while since we've been at the mic to bring you that bloody goodness you guys all are so thirsty for every week. But we are back from the dead, from the grave, to deliver you that bloody goodness that you're craving. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And tonight, we're going to sit down to talk about a movie that the both of us really, really enjoyed last year. It is a holiday film. We are getting into the Christmas spirit, so we couldn't leave B-Sides out for the season. We are going to be talking about Michael Dougherty's Krampus, which came out December of last year, 2015, to theaters. And as you said, Brian, before we started the show, has kind of become a little bit of a cult classic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, the film has only been out for a year, and it turned a profit at the box office, but critics were not particularly kind to this movie.
Oh, of course not, yeah.
Initial reactions were decidedly mixed, but it has, I think, become a cult classic. If you talk to any movie fan, or horror fans especially, they will tell you that they love this film, and that it's in their rotation of annual holiday viewing. And much like Michael Dougherty's own Trick or Treat, you see it online all the time. You see fan art, you see t-shirts, you see merchandise. And Krampus is a film that will be watched and loved for generations to come, and in my opinion, will stand the test of time as a Christmas classic.
Well, I'm glad you think so. I believe I think so. You and I had the luxury of being able to sit down recently and watch the Blu-ray, which I actually bought earlier in the year when it came out, and I just let it sit there with its packaging on it all nice and fresh, waiting for Christmas time. Because for me, I'm the kind of guy, I can't watch a Christmas movie unless it's Christmas time. Kind of like, you know, the Halloween movies, I love them to death. They're one of my favorite franchises, but I don't sit there and watch Halloween in the middle of July. That's just kind of how I am. But enough of that. We're going to talk about Krampus. And for those of you out there that are not familiar with the character or the legend of Krampus himself, Krampus is a horned anthropomorphic figure described as half goat, half demon, who during the Christmas season punishes children who have misbehaved. In contrast with Saint Nicholas, known as Santa Claus, who rewards the well-behaved kids with gifts. Krampus is one of the companions of Saint Nick in regions including Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, among others. And to be honest with you, the origin of this character is really unclear. Some experts have said that he predates Christianity. In traditional places that celebrate this character, they have these huge events and parades where young men dress up as Krampus and they participate and they go down the streets and they dress up as this demon-esque character around the holiday season, which is very close to Christmas. So this character or this individual, this figure, is just as much a part of the Christmas season as Santa Claus, as much as hardcore religious people don't want to admit it. But so just to give you a little bit of backstory, Krampus is a very, very popular figure in folklore. But enough of that side of the character. I'm going to throw it to you, Brian, to tell us what the film Krampus is all about.
Well, the film Krampus is about a young boy named Max, who reaches his breaking point when his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays. And he's feeling very disillusioned, and so he turns his back on the spirit of the season, which summons a massive blizzard and, like you've put it so eloquently, the shadow of Saint Nicholas, Krampus. And now the family must work together and fight back against Krampus and his minions, elves, and demonic toys in order to survive the night.
Well, that's a perfect description of the film, and I'm going to lead off here, and I know that I usually save this for when Nick and I do our regular episodes. We're not going to be doing What Are You Drinking on the B-Sides, but I got to tell you right now, I've been saving this beer in my fridge for weeks, Brian. I am drinking the Southern Tier Brewing Company's Krampus, which is an Imperial Lager. It's their Christmas beer, one of their Christmas beers, I should say. They put it out every single year, and it's one of my favorites. It's an amazing, amazing beer, and I've been drinking this beer for years. ever since I knew about this brewery, and I absolutely love it, and I've been saving it special just for this episode. So all you fans out there, if you've never had it, especially on the East Coast, definitely check it out. It's a fantastic beer, especially to drink while you're watching Krampus. But leading off with my initial thoughts about Krampus, those of you guys that have been following the Epic Film Guys for a little bit, you know that I did a video review of the film last year, the week right after I saw the film. I have to say that after I left the theater, I immediately was in love with this movie. I love Christmas classics, and I love films that are Christmas-centric, you know, that have to deal with families dealing with Christmas and, you know, coming together and celebrating together. But, you know, those people are a little bit jaded. They're a little bit off. And you know, we always have those arguments during Christmas. And, you know, we look back to the classic Christmas films, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story, Home Alone, Gremlins, you name it. And I felt like after I walked out of seeing Krampus for the first time, Brian, that all of those films that I grew up with, that I love so much, that make Christmas so special for me as a cinephile, were really just interjected into Krampus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of influences. I think what makes this film so special is that it takes those influences, you know, the films that we all love, Christmas Vacation, Gremlins, and turns it into something fresh and new and exciting. I adore this film with every fiber of my being. I think it's a perfect blending of horror and comedy and cynicism and heart. It's often very funny, but it's not jokey funny. It takes the premise very seriously, which works to the film's advantage because a lot of the humor comes from the fact that the premise is taken, you know, seriously. It manages to be both a wry satire on, you know, chaotic family dynamics around the holidays and crass consumerism, as well as a heartwarming celebration of the spirit and sentimentality of Christmas. And that's a tough balancing act, but I think Doherty pulls it off with aplomb.
You know, I have to tell you, I was looking forward to seeing Doherty take on anything, something after Trick or Treat. I mean, I feel like it had come out so long ago, and it definitely did. You know, I love that anthology series. As a horror fan, I think it's absolutely perfect. It's one of my favorite Halloween related movies ever. So when I found out he was going to be directing Krampus, I was extremely excited. I had anticipated it from day one. And you know, when it came out, it definitely has his stamp right directly on it. I mean, every single bit of his passion for old creature features like Gremlins or, you know, the classic Christmas film, it's right there. It's right there, front and center. And this is a film that I felt was heartwarming. I felt really genuinely related to it. But at the same time, it's still a fun popcorn flick, so to speak. It's that kind of flick that a horror fan will put in every season, drink a couple of beers or eat their pizza or their ice cream and just sit down and enjoy the hell out of it, just like they do with Gremlins or they do with Silent Night, Deadly Night, or Black Christmas, which we might be talking about on a future B-side. You just better watch out for that. Just like you better watch out for Krampus. He's going to come punish you if you're a bad kid. Flaws aside, because let's make no mistake here, the Krampus film does have many flaws. One of those is the fact that it does draw so strongly from other films. I mean, basically, as I was talking to you pre-show, I mean, this basically is Christmas Vacation, modern day, with Gremlins mixed in. And you know, it's funny to think, because after we had sat down and watched the Blu-ray recently, we watched all the special features on it and how, you know, Doherty and all of his production team were so adamant about being open about the fact that Gremlins was an extremely huge influence on the film.
Yeah, and it shows, you know, that can be viewed as a detriment to a lot of people and to you. But to me, it's a positive. Because it is very much a throwback. Like, this movie just screams classic, you know, it just screams 80s. It just screams, you know, Christmas. And that's what I love about it, especially with the concerning the visual effects.
Yeah, the practical effects. I know you had a really strong admiration of the practical effects. Why don't you tell us what you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, God bless Michael Doherty for doing everything he could to minimize the amount of CGI in the film and to stick to practical effects as much as possible. Krampus is a relatively relatively modestly budgeted film. You know, it's what was it, 15 million, I think?
Something like that.
I think
that,
we looked it up after the movie. Yeah. But the quality of the makeup and the puppets and the real life tangible effects is top notch, and it's really refreshing. And yeah, sure, there is some CG when it's absolutely necessary, you know, especially with the, you know, the gingerbread men scene, but it's frankly revelatory to have such an emphasis on practical effects in today's day and age, where you see a lot of movies, whole movies, being shot against a green screen. Much like the critters, like we talked about on a previous episode of Epic Film Guys B-Sides, the creatures in this film, they have personality, they have presence, because they're actually there, and they're you know, actually interacting with the actors. And I think that's what makes this film feel like such a throwback to the movies of old. But also, you know, I feel like this is the future of movies in a way. Like, I really want...
I wish.
I really want filmmakers to go back to, you know, creatures and practical effects, and especially with J.J. Abrams and the Star Wars films and, you know, all the practical effects with Mad Max Fury Road. You know, I'm hoping we can see some turnaround, but maybe I'm just, you know, naive.
Well, here's the thing. Doherty has proved himself with creature features so much to the point where I'm not sure if any of you listeners out there know this or not, but Michael Doherty is now going to be directing the upcoming sequel to Gareth Edwards' Godzilla film. So he's going to be tackling Godzilla himself, the king of monsters, Godzilla 2. I'm really excited. I mean, like I said to you when the news first hit, I sent you a text, and we both really agreed, like, if there's anyone that knows how to handle monsters and creatures and stuff, it's this guy. I'm actually curious to see if he's going to use any reference of, like, a guy in a Godzilla suit. You know, he's that guy.
I don't know, but the fact that this man is directing a Godzilla film that will feature King freaking Ghidorah makes me so excited that I'm getting slightly aroused.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I myself just the thought, it's fantastic. So, you know, the practical effects are amazing in Krampus, as you were just talking about there, Brian. I think they're fantastic. And as a hardcore retro cinephile, that was a breath of fresh air when I watched it. Everything that I saw in the film, you know, you had mentioned all the different creatures we saw. We have the teddy bear, which definitely reminds me of a little bit of a critter from Critters. That sharp smile there. We had the demonic and oh so frightening Jack in the Box, that thing with how its jaw just goes unhinged. It's kind of like an alien Jack in the Box, and it's so long and it's sluggish and it's so brutally evil, but so
swallows children.
Exactly. We have the dark elves in there. And, you know, one of the pieces of imagery that struck me the most, even though they don't really do anything, are the snowmen. When Max looks out the window in the first morning after his family first arrives at his parents' house and the power is out, and he looks outside and he's just like gazing at these snowmen, these demonic, like very evil, scary looking snowmen. And he's telling his parents, hey, there's some snowmen out there. Who built those snowmen? You know, and like, they're just not paying any attention to him. They're ignoring him. You know, it's that classic trope of ignoring the kid. Don't pay attention to what he's saying. But like that, for me, like that imagery is extremely terrifying, you know, with the fact that you know how much effort it takes to build a snowman. And they were done so well. All of those aspects of the film are great. I'm going to touch on Krampus himself in a little bit because he is the main character, even though he is not the direct focus here. I'm going to throw it to you on what you think about the cast of Krampus. Any standouts here? What do you think overall about the cast?
Well, the cast is one of the strongest elements of the film, for me at least, because some of my favorite character actors are in this film. Toni Collette is one of my favorite actresses working today. She's amazing in The United States of Tara and Little Miss Sunshine. You have Alison Tolman, who was so brilliant in the Fargo TV series, which you have yet to watch, right?
I have not watched it. No, I have not.
Oh, dude. It's so good. Fargo's so good. But she is fabulous. And then you have David Koechner, who is usually in a lot of crap, but he's usually the best part of the crap that he's in. I just love his humor. And we mentioned that he's very much the Cousin Eddie of this film.
He's definitely the Cousin Eddie. Make no mistake. He is Cousin Eddie in this, his own modern version of the character.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, you also have some emotional moments between him and Adam Scott's character. They play brothers, and you get a brotherly sense of I don't know, just the fact that they've been brothers forever and the fact that there's, you know, they get on each other's nerves, but there is that genuine brotherly love there. And Adam Scott, I love him from Parks and Rec. So you have all these great character actors and they're capable actors and they help, they prop the movie up and make it feel more real. And I love the cast in this film.
Yeah, I'd have to agree for the most part. I don't think anyone really stands out here as, you know, really detracting from the film's quality at all. I think everyone's pretty good. You know, it felt real. It felt genuine. It's definitely modern. But as you said before, it's got that retro tone to it. And it's got a great atmosphere about it. It's got a great visual aesthetic to the film, especially when it comes to the Krampus character. As soon as shit starts hitting the fan, you know it's hitting. And it's so beautifully done. You know, the first time that we see the character of Krampus, it's when he's basically stalking.
So good.
He's basically stalking. The way that they do it, the way they like kind of push you in to see him for the first time, it's amazing. It's just like, you know, Doherty knows so well about not showing the monster until it needs to be shown. You know, this guy is very schooled in this. Think back to Jaws, Jurassic Park. The guy knows his shit, let's face it. And it's done in that fashion where you just kind of get a taste of him. And he is a force of nature throughout the film. That could also be an issue some people have because Krampus, while great in it, you know, he's not really all around that much. He's there. He's a presence behind the scenes. And you see all of his little minions, so to speak. But he's just pulling the strings, I would say.
Yeah, and that's maybe the only flaw I have with the movie. The climactic payoff falls slightly flat for me because Krampus himself doesn't have much personality.
He doesn't really do much at all.
He lets his minions do the terrorizing, but Krampus himself doesn't really do much. If we were allowed to glimpse behind the mask, not just literally, but figuratively, because, you know, I think we would both like to see Krampus take off that obvious, you know, Santa Claus face skin mask and see the demon.
Yeah. But, I hated it upon my first viewing, to be honest with you. That's one of my hugest issues, honestly, and just being a nitpicker, I hate being that guy, but I really didn't like the Santa mask the whole time. I waited till the end of the movie, Brian, but he never took that off. You saw those demon eyes behind it. I just was really hoping to see that creature behind it. Unfortunately.
Yeah, and I like the idea of the fact that it's just like a gaping
expressionless
mouth.
Face. Yeah,
yeah, it's very striking and it's very creepy, but it would have been nice to have a scene where Krampus, you know, took it off, or you know, to have that throughout the whole movie was a little bit of a letdown. So as I was saying, like if we were allowed to glimpse behind the mask, not just literally but figuratively, if we got the sense that Krampus was mischievous or malevolent or something, we don't really get a sense of the Krampus character himself. It's all through the minions. If that were the case, then this would have been a 10 out of 10 for me. It does leave me hoping that that will happen in a sequel, if it ever happens.
No,
and you
I
said
doubt.
That
I doubt.
No, you said that you don't think that the sequel will happen, but the film did turn a profit. And if it follows in the footsteps of Trick or Treat and does gangbusters on home video, anything's possible. If Trick or Treat can get a sequel, then so can Krampus. Just get our Lord and Savior, Michael Dougherty, to direct it.
You know what? After he does Godzilla 2, who knows what he's going to be doing? I mean, that's the kind of guy, Brian, that I want in the seat of directing blockbusters. Not just, you know, the shitty ideas that keep getting thrown around. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Mummy reboot. But, you know, like, something, he's going to bring that old school style and that old school mentality to a bigger budget film. And you see what he's done with $15 million. You see what he's done with $10 million. You know what this guy's done. He's worked as a writer on so many bigger budget films. The guy knows what he's doing. Okay, he's one of the best talents working in Hollywood right now. I want to see more horror from him. You know, it's just like we talked about when we reviewed The Conjuring 2. There's only a handful of actual directors right now living today that are making movies in Hollywood that are so good, and you know they have that sense of the retro cinema in them, and I want to see more of it. You know, we're lucky to get these little gems in here, so that's why I appreciate Krampus as much as I do. Flaws aside, you know, because there are many, this film for me, you know, when I was listening to the extra special features on the Blu-ray, Doherty himself had explained, you know, he wanted to make this film another one that every year you'll take off your shelf and you'll put it in for the Christmas season. Well, in my opinion, he definitely made that film, and that film worked wonders for me in the long run. It's perfect. It's a Christmas movie. The movie's about dealing with ourselves, our faith in the holiday, our holiday spirit, and our faith in ourselves, and believing in things that we don't see, you know, believing in the unknown. And it's all about, you know, like that thing about, I don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. You know what? I kind of do believe in Santa Claus, and I believe in Krampus too. And there's a reason for that. I have imagination, you know, and that's one thing this film serves up is do not lose your imagination, no matter what anyone tells you.
Absolutely. That's a very apt analysis of the film, Justin. I mean, what can I say? It's got, visually it looks amazing. And I don't think we've talked about, I just want to bring up the sound, because even the sound design and the look of the snow and the winter is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like the howl of the ambient wind, it just like, it swirls around you and just envelops you into this blizzard. When the actors are out in the cold, they look cold. The snow looks like real snow. It just really helps put the viewer into this situation with the family, with no light, no electricity, just the elements. And it's not only a film about, you know, believing in the spirit of the season and believing in yourself. It's also about survival, you know, and that's, you know, it's just kind of, this film encompasses so many different styles of film and genres of film, and that's what makes it, for me, a masterpiece in a way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, you had mentioned the visual look of the film. I have to make sure I don't leave out the score for the film done by Douglas Pipes here. I thought it was a really upbeat, fun, yet scary score. We always seem to leave out the score when we're doing these reviews, and I just want to make sure to bring those up because I love the music to films. It's so important, and it's something that I really enjoy and I have a deep passion for. I thought the score for Krampus was fantastic. You know, I looked at it the same way I looked at Gremlins. It's upbeat, it's fun, but it's kind of scary, and it's kind of, you know, dark and funny at the same time, and it perfectly fits the film. We're going to jump right here to final thoughts, Brian. I'm going to throw it back to you because this B-side is about to end.
Well, I mean, have I gushed about Krampus enough? I mean, what can I say? I mean, it's got scares. It's got a twisted, nasty sense of humor. It's got a cadre of inventive creatures. And it's an, you know, it has an ultimately touching yet foreboding ending that makes it, in a way, kind of the Christmas Carol of our generation. And if you've seen the film, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen the film, then it's essential viewing. It's a true classic in every sense of the word. I love Krampus, and I'm going to give it, because I have to give it a number rating, but if I had to give it a number rating, I would give it a 9 out of 10.
That's fantastic, man. And you know what? 9 out of 10, I can totally see that being an accurate rating for the film. I believe when I did my video review, it may have been a 7 or an 8. So you know what? I'm going to round it on up regardless, because you know what? I don't sit back and watch my old video reviews. I'm going to give Krampus an 8 out of 10. The film is extremely flawed when you look down at the root of the film, but overall, it serves up a, you know, huge smorgasbord of goodies for horror fans and fans of Christmas movies as well. You know, it's got those classic elements that we love so much. Again, going back to Home Alone, A Christmas Story, you know, Christmas Vacation, Gremlins, a little piece of each movie is in there. All of our adolescence, our childhood, it's there. And that's what makes Christmas so special. Believe, people. Believe in the holiday spirit. And believe in Krampus. Or else, you know what? He's going to come punish your motherfucking ass. And your ass will be raw in the morning. Christmas morning, man. Everyone's going to be wondering why your ass is all pink and red. And it's oozing stuff. You know why? Because Krampus came on there and he stuck something real deep and hard and sharp up there. You should have listened, man. You should have been good for Christmas. Ain't no Saint Nick coming for you. We're going to leave it at that. But, Brian, thanks for joining me here on this edition of Epic Film Guys B-Sides. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we have plenty more where that came from. That's right, plenty more punishment for the holiday season. We're going to be doing a couple of more titles here. We referenced a possibility earlier on in the episode, so be looking out for that. But we'll keep we're going to keep listening. We're going to keep trying to do as much as we can to be pulling in these out here. And we appreciate Epic Film Guy Nick editing these up and throwing them out there for you guys to hear. And we're always open to recommendations. So if there's a film you want us to touch on for the holiday season or after the holiday season, just shoot us a message, comment on this episode, let us know. And definitely let us know what you think of Krampus. We think you should be watching Krampus this Christmas season. So we're going to leave it at that. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy.
Slash.
And as always, we will see you at the movies.